What is this, our first time?
It's like I'm tiny blips.
I think that's...
It's okay. I can adjust you. Because it's now on three tracks instead of one track, I can bring you up in post.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's amazing. So don't worry about it. Look at the technology.
That's it's not our technology. That's why.
That's, yeah.
That's why it's so good.
Can't we say what studio we're in right now?
Yeah.
We're in our, I think this is going to be our pretty much permanent home. I think we finally made it.
I'll probably be Skyping in sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you'll be Skyping in sometimes. That's why. And, you know, now we're in the wonderful, beautiful Group 9 studios.
Yep, that's where we are.
Recording.
Listen to these mics.
These sound beautiful.
They do sound really nice.
You can hear just me exhale. Wow. It has a lot of depth to my exhale. The only thing we're missing, and, you know, is... our artwork, and this is the only one I have of you, Spencer.
What?
For some reason,
two?
I had you in my car the whole time.
Oh, well,
every day I walked into my car, I see your picture, your face, hanging and just hanging there. I was like, okay, so I'm gonna bring it over.
There we go. That's much better.
So now we just got to bring the other pictures.
Where are the other ones?
Yeah, I think you got them. You've kidnapped them.
Oh yeah, I think they're in those boxes, aren't
you've
they?
You've ransacked them.
I have them. I'll bring them in.
Yeah. I don't know how we're gonna place them. I guess that's a pretty good idea.
There we go. Look at that. That's me. Okay. In case people forget what I look like. It's right here.
Yeah, it's right here, audio people. And if you have the gift of eyes that many people do not have, you can see all this at youtube.com/we stayed late.
Oh, I forgot to vlog. That I'm
the battle to 1K. The fight to 1K.
The road to 1K. Wait, you vlogging while we're doing this?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's been over a month.
It's been a long time since we've been able to be in the same room together.
Yeah.
We have to vlog a little bit.
We're vlogging a little bit.
Look at this new studio. Now I'm speaking to the vlog camera right here. Look at this new studio here. We got a new studio. We got new mics. We got a new computer. We're recording on three different tracks. We're really...
So we used to record on one track.
Now it's three tracks.
Each of us get our own track.
That's beautiful.
It's like an... Do you guys have tracks in elementary school?
What?
Like field tracks?
No, I don't know.
Like yellow track, green track, blue track.
I don't know what that is.
Okay, I was yellow track.
No.
So let me tell you a little bit about how this works. So
before you do that, watch the podcast. Like, subscribe.
Subscribe.
YouTube.com/we stay late.
Yay. Okay.
Okay. So in elementary school, we had these things called tracks, and I don't know how popular they were. They might have just been at that school. I don't know. You tell me, audience. anyway, there were tracks, and so we had. I went to year round school.
What?
Do you guys know what that is?
You went to school year round.
You didn't have a summer break.
Is this weird?
Yeah. No summer break. No winter break.
No.
No, yeah, that's special. That's different.
So, okay. So, no. We did have winter break. So, it was year-round school and that we would have a month off in between segments, but we wouldn't have a summer off.
Oh, wait. But how long did this last? Did this last just in elementary school?
This is elementary school.
Okay.
So, what we would do is we would I'm trying to remember because it might.
This is in California,
so
right?
Yeah, this is in Northern California.
Okay.
So, we all had different tracks. So... You might be on. Sorry, I'm like dying. You might be on. it's been a day. You might be on like. Well, I was on yellow track. You might be on blue track. You might be on green track. But what track you're on, that tells you when you're in school. So like, I could be in school, and I honestly don't remember. But I could be in school from like September to February, and then have March off. And then come back and be in school April to June or July, and then have August off. But if you're on blue track, you might be in school during those times. So everybody has a different summer off. Now I don't know why.
Yeah,
I don't know what the
Was it an age difference?
No. So we had I think we had four different tracks, and they were all like it was the you know what I think it is actually. Now that I think about it, and I don't know, I might be totally off base, but I think it might be that they could have more kids at the school because somebody was always off.
Okay.
But I don't know.
I mean, that makes sense, right? Financially, you get kids to keep coming in.
Yeah, you get more kids and you just
have...
Was
this a private school?
No, public school.
Interesting.
Yeah, so very strange.
Huh.
Anyway.
It sounds also like very Japanese. Like I feel like the Japanese system is more of a year-round...
system.
And, but they do have like a summer break, but I think the summer break's only for like a month. It's not like a full 3 month summer
thing. Yeah, I don't know. And now that I think about it, it's very odd because once I got into middle school, it was normal summers. But and we didn't that have like yellow. But we were all like, you had like yellow track pride, and they'd have like, you know, you have your track pride day, so like you'd wear the color of your track or whatever.
Was there a day where no one like where like all the tracks were there?
I see. I don't know, because if there is, then that totally does away with the idea I have that it's a way to save money or to make.
Well,
more
now
money,
you have
I
to
guess.
Research this and report back because
I do.
Curious.
I'm gonna go interview. I'm gonna go back up north and just interview my teachers and find out. Just do a whole
documentary about it.
What if it was just like a weird experiment and your school was the one conducting it?
It could be. So I want to know from the audience listening, am I crazy? Is this something that doesn't happen? Is this just a weird thing my school did, or is that something that's real? Because it was, thinking back on it, it was sort of
strange.
I mean,
that would be more efficient, I think, for parents and everything, because it's like...
Yeah.
Oh, like you're at least you don't have to worry for 3 months. It's like, what the fuck am I going to do with these kids
right.
for 3 months? Because you still have to go to work.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But it's also, and with that month break, you could still plan for vacations, but it doesn't always have to be in the summer. So if you knew you were going to get March
right.
off, you could be like, oh, okay, we'll plan for vacation in March.
That'd be great, going to like theme parks, Disneyland.
Yeah. And then you're like, I could still not have to worry about like finding a summer program or something like that. Because my mom always found like a summer school program for me to be in. I never had like a proper summer off, like at all. I was always in some type of school program.
Interesting.
Whether it's like sports or like a gifted program or something, because she was just like, "This 3 months, what are you gonna, what are you gonna?"
You didn't just hang around.
So
hang around.
So I just looked it up because I want to make sure that I was remembering right. So there is such thing as year-round school. So it is a thing. It says that only 4% of U.S. public schools have it, and mostly at the elementary level. And also, kids who attend year-round schools usually learn for 6 weeks at a time before taking 3 week breaks.
Interesting.
Interesting. Huh.
Well, the more you know. Ling, 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 ling.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was Yellow Track Pride. How are you, Star? We haven't seen you in forever.
I'm all right.
Yeah?
I'm good. I feel like I'm a good neutral. Like, everything's... like, nothing's...
Solid neutral?
Yeah, nothing's bad, but nothing's, like, particularly, like super exciting either.
Yeah.
I'm, like, just a good even. And that's nice. I feel like that's real nice. Like, it's either, like... Things are amazing, or things are like real shitty.
Yeah, there's like,
and you know what? Those extremes aren't always like that's really hard on your heart, you know.
Yeah, swing back and forth.
Like it's just like so like being at a nice neutral. I'm just like I'm doing fine.
Yeah,
and I like it. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
I want to stay in this like nice little. I mean, a little higher would be great too, but it's like neutral's fine.
Yeah.
Neutral's good.
Even keel. Well, we're glad that you're here. We're glad that you made it.
Yes, we finally have some stability.
How was your reaction to finding? Because I wasn't here. How was your reaction to finding out Luis was a Hamilton head now?
I was stoked.
Yeah, I kind of told you a little bit earlier.
Oh yeah, you were at Brittany and Bailey's birthday party.
Yeah.
That's right. I didn't get to go to that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is fantastic.
Because I think people were making Hamilton jokes, and then I was like building off like what their jokes, and just continued it on. And then you looked at me, and you're like, what?
When did this happen?
How do you know? Have you listened to Hamilton? I was like, yes. And then we started talking about that.
It's been great, and I've also like my friend Kelly has been sending me messages to pass along to Luis.
Hi, Kelly.
To watch more Hamilton related things, which also this before we recorded turned into a discussion of everybody needs to watch West Wing.
Yeah.
Kelly, if you haven't watched West Wing.
Kelly, I've passed the information along.
I've watched West Wing. I'm a big fan of West Wing.
There you go. So
it's
now Luis has
commitment.
To catch up.
You've watched part of it, though.
You said this
I
about
did.
Hamilton as well.
But Hamilton is
like 2 hours.
2 hours. And that's like, okay. That's.
But even then, before you watch it, you were like, oh, my God, it's so long.
I know. Okay, well, you know, I mean, you're right. But this is an out. How many? Network television, 22 episodes or so, plus
you
or minus.
You said you've liked other Aaron Sorkin things.
I do.
This is the masterpiece.
This is my problem, is that once I commit, I'm going to be anxious until I finish and get to the end.
It's
I'm going to be like, I got to finish.
It's not like a binge type show. It wasn't made.
But it's going to be at the back of my head scratching and be like, when are you going to finish, Lisa? Are you going to watch it now? Are you going to do this now? And I'm like, shut up.
I'm not going to say that's bad to scratch that itch if it's with West Wing.
But once I do that, I'm going to be dipping hard into that world.
It's good though. It's good. You'll learn.
Yeah, you'll learn
a lot.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And
it's very educational.
And
it's
that
like a waste
it's
of time.
That banter, that walk and talk.
Oh, I love the walk and talk.
The walk and talk. Yeah, it's so good.
All right. I mean, I don't know. I don't know when. I know. Are we wondering about her levels?
I'm wondering if it's the other side that's
See, yeah, my mic.
Oh, there it is. You just need to be closer.
But yeah, that means I'm literally like.
Yeah, that's how I am.
Yeah, but see, I'm
it.
Over here. You
but
know,
like, he's
look at
far.
Me. I'm pretty great.
Yeah, I don't
he's
know.
He's comfortable. Yeah. I've never had to like.
Lean
like,
in.
Like make out with the thing. I don't like doing
the other,
that.
The other mics had to make out with them. I was like, wrong.
Yeah, that's how I was too. That's why
I was
I'm talking
always
like
just talking.
This.
Yeah, it's interesting. We got to investigate that
this
mic
is,
later.
We'll yeah, do, this is weird because
we'll
I don't like breathing on it.
Maybe
like,
we can
I feel
swap
my
mics
breath
next time.
On my face and
yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
This podcast is all about mic talk. Have you ever noticed?
Mike Falzone talk.
Mike Falzone talk. Mike Falzone, enter the room.
Mike's not here.
Mike's not here. Well, what a beautiful day, huh?
I have a question that was asked that I wanted to answer. I have a question that I'd like answered. This is from Martin. Martin asked if you
Martin, could Martin, I am Martin.
If you
show?
Could
I missed that show. Yeah. Yeah.
If you could bring one character to life, I'm going to modify it a little bit. If you could bring one character to life from a book you've read, who would you bring? Who would you bring out? He says you're currently reading, but I think thinking about all the books that we've read, what character would we want to have walk into our studio right now?
Oh, enter. Like walk into the studio, not
like,
just
like
hang exist?
Out with us. Yeah. I mean, I guess we could go exist. I went more like, who would you want as your friend? But you
yeah,
know,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It could just be somebody that exists.
There's too many options in this thing.
I need to read more. is what this is telling me.
I think
me.
The difficulty for me is that like I go straight to Harry Potter.
So yeah. That was the honestly.
But then
my
I'm
first
like,
thought too.
Does that mean magic is real, or do I just have to like the character enough that I'd want to hang out with them and not worry about any of the magic?
See,
part.
My brain went with that was just like, man, if you brought any magical character out of Harry Potter into this world, then they would be the only magical character
yeah.
in this world, and that would throw off.
That would throw off.
That
their,
would just be
yeah.
like an imbalance of horrible proportions. So, like that's why I'm like, oh, I don't want to pick anybody from there.
Yeah, I mean,
because it would not be good.
Filch
why? No,
she wouldn't disrupt the non.
What about I think
magic thing?
My top, the ones that popped in my head first off was the BFG. Bring the
BFG.
In. What a great yep. guy coming in, really friendly, really big. I think, and then I was like, oh, what about Hagrid? So now I'm thinking I got something about, like, big people.
Yeah, maybe,
I don't know
like,
why.
Big people.
I like big people. Like, they can just pick me up, carry
oh,
me around.
Man, I'm trying to think of other books
Hagrid
I've
would
read.
Be great. Oh, coming in. Welcome to We Stayed Late. You know? That would be great, having Hagrid.
We wouldn't have space.
No.
What?
We wouldn't
have
space.
For some reason, I abstracted what you just said to, like, space wouldn't exist.
Because
and I was
Hagrid.
Like,
oh.
Like this. And I was like, oh. Did he... Is and I was like, no, that's not. You mean like literally, we don't have space.
Yeah.
He would take up the whole room.
How tall
he would
is
take
he?
Up the room, and he wouldn't be able to get through that door.
How tall is that man?
He's pretty
big.
He's half a giant.
He's 12 feet.
Yeah, he's
12 feet tall.
He's pretty big.
That's pretty big.
That's pretty big. Pretty wide.
Man, I'm trying to think of other. I've read too many dystopian world books.
I read Hunger
too.
Games.
I
think of
I think I, I'd like I'd like to be friends with Aragorn.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Honorable man.
I feel like he would push me out of my comfort zone.
I'm also trying to think of characters that would like. How good would they like hang out in our world?
Yeah,
that's rough.
Yeah.
But
I like him.
Can you?
I just want to hang out with Viggo Mortensen. Let's
yep.
be honest.
Okay, yeah.
Do we have a cure for rabies now? Like, if you have rabies, can you cure people?
Yes. Why?
I'll bring back the old yeller dog.
Oh yeah!
Come here, buddy.
Oh
I'm
no, we don't have
life.
A cure for it on the animals.
Oh well, then I wouldn't bring them back.
We have it for like
for us, but
for
not for animals.
Like for us, like instead of taking like 16 shots to the belly, it's like more like 5 now.
16.
Yeah, it was like a thing. Like you have to take like 16 different shots to like.
But
keep
we can't
it from...
save animals.
No, because people don't. No one's gonna.
No one's gonna take the time.
It's very expensive.
Yeah, so maybe don't bring him back because
I
don't have to kill
yeah,
him again. That's not good.
That's very sad. I'd be in a very
yeah.
different place in my life if that
yeah.
happened.
Jeez, I'm trying to think of, like, I went to, like, the Golden Compass. Like, that's where I'm at.
Oh, okay, yeah.
With, I'm forgetting her name, but, like, the girl
in that, from that, yeah.
She was pretty rad,
yeah,
and I think
cool.
she could handle our world.
Yeah.
And also her soul would be, like, hanging out with us. That
yeah.
would be kind of cool. You could see somebody's soul. If you haven't read that, it's, like, it's a cool book. It's
The Golden
it's like,
Compass.
It's alternate universe Earth, but like your soul is represented as like an animal demon that like hangs out with you. And until you hit puberty, the animal keeps changing.
Like, is it like
it's like a Patronus, but like okay. it's like a constantly morphing one. But kind of once you hit puberty, when you like become an adult and you like kind of like stabilize, the creature also stabilizes, but it hangs out with you the whole time.
Like the polar bear was Daniel Craig's animal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like that kind of thing. They're also remaking that series, by the way. It's
a Netflix series.
PBS.
Oh, okay.
PBS series, and Lin-Manuel's gonna be in it.
What?
He's playing, I forget his name, but he plays like one of the really cool dudes.
I'm going to watch it.
But
I'm going to watch that Mary Poppins.
So I'm still trying to read the book. I got the book.
Oh my God, it's so good.
I want to read it really bad. Oh, I just haven't had time. I'm in the middle of Neverwhere. Do you guys know Neverwhere?
No.
Neverwhere is Neil Gaiman's, one of Neil Gaiman's first books,
Yes, you told me about
this,
yes.
Oh, it's so good. If you guys haven't read Neverwhere, if you haven't read Neverwhere, now I'm pointing the camera. If you haven't read Neverwhere, I'm like a third of the way through, and it's already one of my favorite fantasy, like urban fantasy.
Was this a book you picked up again? Like you did read it, and yeah.
So I read part of it, and then I went back and started reading it again. And yeah, it's really good. So anyway, if you're looking for really cool fantasy, that's another one to hit.
Also, just went real like metaphysical dark for a second. I was just like, bring a character from a book in real life, and I was like, God. But then I was like, oh no.
Abraham?
But I was just like, there's a lot to like unpack there.
Yeah. That would be a little.
That's a lot to unpack. But I was like, for a split second, I was just like, huh, what would you like if you brought like the way as they are described in the book as they are to that would be some wild shit.
Like the Greek gods?
Greek gods or god, like any of them.
Yeah, any of them on Earth.
Yeah, as they like are traditionally described, because a lot of them are vengeful and like really not fair.
I
like,
play
it's just like a straight up like oh, and you got all these rules.
Yeah.
Oh, like it would be it would be a thing.
I just recently played a PBTA game. An RPG that is in development by this guy Jason Mills, and it's called Demigods, and it is all about like you are the son or daughter of a god, and the gods can come to Earth, and they are basically the things that happen are seen by regular people as just like acts of nature, but you can see the gods, and so you're able to sort of fight them back.
Oh, that's cool.
And so I was a person who could basically like forge whatever I wanted out of the materials around me. So I could just like pick up a table and break it in half and make it into like a ladder something, you know? Like
isn't what's her name's husband? Hephaestus? Those are very Hephaestus.
We actually took on Hephaestus, who was like a builder, and so him and I were
I was just like,
sort
I was like,
rivaling.
Which one? I was like, which one? I was like, Hephaestus. I was like, husband of Venus, who like got screwed over royally.
You know, I just played too with Santorini. Have you played Santorini?
No.
The board game?
No.
It was a really cool. So I was at Strategicon this weekend in Santa Monica, which is like a local LA game like con, and. They had a big games library just full of games you could just trade. You gave them your license and you could just play it. And
right.
Nice.
Or return it. It's really fun. And I've seen it. So Santorini, for those who have never heard of it or seen it, it was a Kickstarter darling. It was like it was a big game on Kickstarter. And it's basically like this board and you're taking these little plastic levels of a house and building up these really cool like – three-level houses with a dome on top that look like Santorini, which is I don't know if you've ever seen the architecture there, but it's beautiful. And it's like all white and then a blue roof. You've probably seen – let me see if I can pull it up.
I think I've seen stuff like that. It seems very Greek.
Yeah, it is. Let me pull the picture out so you guys can see. So anyway, I was playing that, and it's all about the gods. And so Hephaestus was in that, and you basically are playing like these gods who are trying to build houses. But it was very chess-like in that you had to choose – you had to always move and place something down and then move and play something. So you could like build levels of a house and your goal was to like get up to the top. It was really interesting. It was like chess on three levels. So you're like moving things and building things and moving and building and moving and building. But you could also like if you built something then the other person could get on top. Anyway, it was really cool and I haven't played it before and it's been out for a long time. And it was a great game. So I highly, if you're looking for something that's really simple to pick up but hard to master, that is it's a good recommendation.
I've seen those,
you know,
buildings.
What I'm talking about.
Oh yes, those are cool.
Man, I want to go to Greece.
I know. I want to go to Greece too.
I wish I had like a family member who was like a flight attendant, because you can just jump on
board
and
just
fly
jump on
anywhere.
A plane.
They've restricted a lot of those.
Well, I know that
family situations.
You know Jerry. Who works
here?
Yeah.
His wife is going to go become, like, she's training to be a flight attendant. And it's like, what he was telling me was that he could go anywhere. You just have to pay for the taxes. And he would just be on the waiting list.
Yeah.
You jump on the waiting list.
But you just have to pay for, like,
I have a cousin who works for an airline, which is kind of the only way to relatively cheaply go to St. Martin for me. But even then, it's a lot. But it's the same thing. But it's also, like, at least with him before, it was kind of a way where the family member could pay directly and they would use his code.
Right.
And at least, I don't know, with the airline he works for, they changed it where he has to pay for, like, it comes out of his paycheck.
Oh.
And then you have to pay him back. And okay. So ever since that, he was it's kind of been limiting, which I understand. That's hard.
Yeah. Even if you pay him in advance?
Well, it's like a mix of, like, he has to, because you have to, like, register for the flight.
Okay.
So it's like a thing, like, he still has to take the hit directly first before you even know what you're paying him.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't even predict what it.
Yeah, because it depends on the day. The flight could be full. Like, it's all the stuff. And
interesting.
So, yeah, they made it a little harder because they want it to be more for direct family. Like, if it's your wife or your kid,
that's
like,
exactly what it is.
It's easier to do. But if it's, like, the billion cousins that exist, it's a little bit more complicated.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could freelance and be a flight attendant.
Nope.
No.
I'm editing.
The answer is no. So I have another question coming from Sandra, our friend Sandra. Hi, Sandra. Do you have a favorite montage sequence from a movie? I love the Becoming a Geisha montage from Memoirs of a Geisha.
Uh-oh.
Anything Edgar Wright.
Yes.
Literally,
oh, those are
anything
great.
Edgar Wright montages. The train one,
mm-hmm.
where, or not? It's like the traveling one. And what is that?
Oh,
Shaun
yeah,
of the Dead.
No, it's Hot Fuzz when he's traveling from London to the small town.
Yes.
And it's great at, like, telling the story, what's happening,
and
as the bars
the
go down.
The contrast of the.
He doesn't have one in Scott Pilgrim, does he?
I mean, there are
like,
there are
like
montages,
sections, but they're not like that moment in the fun and games section of a movie where it's like a little, like, everyone's getting ready.
I don't think so, but there are montage-y moments. Although I do, like, I just love how that movie obliterates time and space.
Oh, yeah.
It's so cool. It just obliterates it. It's just like they're talking and all of a sudden they turn. It reminds me of Michel Gondry is what it reminds me of.
Yes, yes. That's exactly what it is.
It's very Michel Gondry.
I love the part where Scott's, like, tuned out for some reason. And then
and like Scott,
and he turns and he's somewhere else.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the way that
it's so
they film with his movement,
uh-huh.
it works, and the camera placement, it works beautifully. I love it. It's something that I definitely
and
want
a lot
to
of the
do.
Lighting and everything is very practical. Like they just dim the
room. They dim the
room,
and then it's different.
Yeah. Well, and that's like very Citizen Kane. I don't know if you remember Citizen Kane.
I've never watched Citizen
but,
Kane.
Is it the same thing?
So in Citizen Kane, there's a moment where they're doing an interview with somebody. I can't remember what the context is, but there's a moment where there's an interview with somebody, and they keep that person lit, but then they darken the room behind them, and then they actually, if I'm remembering right, I think they double expose and put the new environment behind them because it's black, so they can re-expose that part of the film.
Oh yeah, that's exactly what Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, exactly. And so they re-expose that, and then they go into the new scene. But yeah, they did it. I saw it happen in Citizen Kane, and I was like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
How, just that.
That's pretty cool.
It was on them, and then the background went black. I was like, what? Okay, I guess, like, we were 80 years late
for
Scott Pilgrim.
30 Rock did something sort of similar where, like, Jack Donaghy is, like, talking about his recent divorce and how he's like, oh, I don't care. I don't miss her at all, but he's like, you know, talking to someone like you and me, wide shot, and then the shot comes slowly in, and he's drinking a whiskey. Like, he takes a shot. He puts it down, grabs a beer, and the camera is zooming in close and close and close. And he takes a beer, and you start hearing all this noise, and you're like, oh, that's weird. That beer doesn't really belong where he was, like in his office.
Right.
And then it cuts to a wide shot, and he's now in a bar.
Oh, interesting.
And so it's like brings in these elements.
Yeah.
And then you
it
look.
It overlaps.
Right.
Instead of doing overlap, well, they do overlap sound. But I'm sure. But
right.
But instead of just overlapping sound, which is what a lot of films will do, if if you watch movies and you watch transitions for how they move scenes from one scene to the next, a lot of time they'll take the sound and they'll
right.
lay it under the previous scene for about
so it's like introducing you to it.
Yeah.
So that it's not a hard cut. And if they do a hard cut,
like yeah, that happens a lot.
Like when it's what a good DJ does. Yeah. They don't just stop the song and then cut into the next one. Yeah. You have like you hear the next song just coming up a little bit.
Yeah.
And if you know the song, you get excited because you're like, oh, I know the song's coming up.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're just like, it's a smooth flow.
You got to introduce a sound effect. Like
yeah.
somebody's like pensive in an office and you hear like, and then 2 seconds later, you cut to him, that man, pensive. Out in the street,
yeah.
waiting for a taxi.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
know, so you just had that sound effect of a car driving.
And
underneath.
That's your transition.
Yeah.
And it's so invisible that most people don't even realize it's happening when they
yeah.
watch a movie. But when you watch the next movie you watch, anybody that doesn't
notice
has never
it.
Noticed it, next movie you watch, watch how they use that, watch how they
or
use
listen.
Sound. To tra- yeah, listen to how they use sound to transition you from one place to the next because it's really, really fascinating. And then when they do a hard cut, usually it's for a reason.
Yeah.
Right.
Usually it's like very.
It's supposed
to
be jarring.
It's jarring.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And it's weird because we would think that moving from one scene to the next, you wouldn't, you
right.
know, like you would just jump to the next scene. But it does feel jarring when you just
totally.
Do that as opposed to layering
that. I'm trying to still think of more montage. I want it's like I just have a mix of all of any person learning how to fight montage scene. Like it's in every like you know beginner's journey story.
Let's get down to business.
Yeah,
to defeat the Huns.
Like
yeah
that's,
oh
my god,
man,
that's such a good.
You
want
to get pumped up? Listen to that song.
Yeah,
like it's just watching somebody be shitty, and then 5 minutes later they're like essentially
amazing.
An expert, and it makes me happy
yeah.
every time. Just because I'm like, okay, this is how you're gonna fast forward through the like months, if not years,
yeah.
of training. And I like seeing people like fuck up and then you
and
see
then
where
succeed.
They
yeah.
yeah it's just it's like a 5 minute thing. It's just like yeah and usually there's good music
yeah.
and it pumps
yeah,
you up
yeah.
and you get excited and you're motivated too and it's just it's all of that. I love it.
I re-listened to Mulan just recently
uh-huh.
to all the music and it was pretty ahead of its time and like it's very feminist and
yes,
like
very
incredibly
so.
Feminist. It's I mean for when
for
it was made.
I was gonna say,
right?
I was gonna say for when
it
was made I'm like. I was like, it could have been more fem. It's like one of those things where it's just
it was like 90s.
Well, it definitely could have been more, but it was surprising to me for the time that it was made that it had such a strong message about like the powers of
yeah.
of
yeah,
women
yeah.
and you know and
it's
how
a great movie
and how yeah and how all of the like all of the love interest is like they sent me daughters when I asked for sons. Like you are all women and I'm gonna make you men.
But
and
it's also she's a woman.
But she's but she yeah, and she ends up being the best.
Also,
yeah,
Disney
yeah.
unintentionally made Shang bisexual in that movie. Huh. So that's how it's being interpreted, and they can't do anything about it.
Love it.
Whoops.
So good.
Because like everybody's watching, like because you could rewatch it and you could see it was just like, oh, he digs Ping.
Yeah.
Like he's like it's like
yeah.
he like the exact same
yeah.
level of emotion that he gives Mulan. It's the exact same level of emotion for
yeah.
Ping. Like they don't change it.
Right.
And at the time, I think it was supposed to be like, look, it's like a neutral platonic, but also like he clearly like cares for her. But as a modern day context, recontextualizing
yeah.
everything, it's just like, oh, he's just bisexual
yeah.
and was into Ping. So it's just like, ah, cool. And I think as a result of that, that's why the character is not in the live action movie that they're doing.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Wait. The guy who's training everybody's not in the
No, no. They're just making a new character.
Why? That's so dumb. I liked that guy. Man, stupid Disney.
I just also read an article, and I should have like seen. I should have known. Given the two directors, like current situation, I guess is right, not the right way to put it, but whatever. That the Matrix is all about being transgender. It's all about coming out.
I could see that.
And that the both of the directors were transgender
the
women. Yeah. Both of the directors are transgender women, and they are there's if you rewatch it, there are very strong undertones
so
of what it's like to be living two lives and to be somebody that society won't accept for the second life that you're living.
Uh-huh.
'Cause remember, Neo's living two lives and also calling people by their
preferred names
because he's called Neo by Morpheus. Morpheus is sort of like the leader of this, you know, thing. But he's called Neo, but he's called Mr. Anderson by the bad guys. And so it's being called, he's being called by his birth name,
right,
as opposed to the name that he
that he's chosen, chosen for himself.
Has chosen for himself.
Oh, that makes sense.
There's a lot of, there's a lot of things. I was reading a whole article about it. There's a lot of things in it that are vague enough that they don't, they aren't like, this is about,
right,
yeah,
being transgender, but the, but in context of both of the directors have now become the Wachowski sisters.
Yeah, yeah,
they both were trans,
yeah,
are transgender.
Are. Yeah.
They are. Yeah. Yeah. They yeah, so they're but they but when they made the movie they were living as
Mr. Anderson.
Yeah, they were living as Mr. Anderson. They were living as men. Mm. But had the I think that they're, you know, it's transgender is an incredibly difficult thing to come out as, I think.
Yeah.
As
I mean, like,
especially
it's
in,
it's getting,
you know,
better, but it's
getting
still
better.
It's still not.
I feel like being gay, yeah, was sort of like the first hurdle that was jumped in society sense.
Mm-hmm.
But like being transgender is still got. It still has,
yeah, there's
even
still,
deeper taboo.
There's still
in a
like
sense.
people who are resistant to any type of like gender,
yeah,
like exploration and like talks about that, and which is sad because like a lot of like the gay rights movements and things like that started because of
transgender
folks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's kind of like this thing of like the people who started the movements and fought hardest for the movements are the ones who are still mostly marginalized even,
yeah,
within those communities. So, but it's little by little people are knowing,
yeah,
and it's getting better and history is being told. And
yeah.
I'm
only being hesitant in the way I talk about it because I don't have the experience. So
right.
I don't want to like speak frankly for that community, but my understanding of it, my understanding of the difficulty that they go through, in making not only, you know, coming out as transgender but also making that transition,
yeah,
is reflected in that movie. So it's a fascinating sort of
look
at the way that the, yeah, yeah.
It's
I
been
mean,
a
it's,
long time since I've
it's,
watched
it. It's coded, you know,
yeah,
it's hidden because
it's coded.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hidden because it is all metaphor and,
right,
you know, they're obviously just trying to make a cool movie too.
Yeah.
But if
those
you watch
influence.
For it, it definitely influences.
That's the best part about it is,
yeah,
when something is influenced by like true,
yeah,
like, yeah, your truth.
Yeah,
you know? So,
which,
yeah,
is fascinating. So anyway, that was a revelation that I had. Were you gonna say?
Yeah,
something?
I was, okay, gonna have. I had a couple montages. I'm just now I have one. But Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, the editors, Kelly Dixon and something McDonald. They are, if you, the montages on that show when they're like trying to pass through time are fucking amazing. Like the way that they approach things, whether it's like a one take from a bird's eye view and you see a guy just deconstructing this motorcycle or car in order to find out, you know, like how he got bugged. You know what I mean? So he spends all day. You see the sunrise, the sunset,
yeah,
and you just kind of see how, or like when they had to disintegrate a body, or
right,
they had to do all these like crazy things, or when they're making meth, or when he's trying to pull a hustle or something. There's like so many different ways that they pull it off, and the way that they blend sound and video together.
Yeah.
Like even like there's in Better Call Saul, one of the female lawyers, she's like trying to make all these calls so she can get clients because she's trying to start a new company. And the way that they show her like defeat and trying to like her failure with calling all these people and the way that the voicemails overlap each other, it's just like, it's really great. And
cool.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's a really great show because it builds off its own like visual language too. So that's like, I think that's one of the great montages, that and Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, Sherlock Holmes.
Sherlock has the great yeah, that was the other
stuff
one that came to my mind too.
Yeah.
So the way that they
Sherlock
blend
Holmes
like
really good
in the actual like visuals of it all, you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think there was one where he's like tripping out and I forget what it was.
It's been a while since I watched that show too.
Yeah. I'm trying to go back and rewatch shows that I love instead of just like, you know.
Yeah, it's
wait, are we talking about Sherlock the BBC show,
the BBC,
or Sherlock Holmes?
Sherlock BBC.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
The movie also
those,
has
say,
some great
the
montages.
The movie has,
yeah,
some,
yeah,
really cool, well, I don't know if they'd be considered montages, but they're like
moments,
those slow down moments.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like
when they're in the second one when they're running through the woods.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what
so,
I was thinking too.
So,
like, oh yeah, that.
Yeah, it's really cool. For like just okay movies, there's some really cool parts.
Apparently
of
all of the like Sherlock interpretations, the what's his name? What's the guy's actor's name?
Robert Downey Jr.
Benedict.
Yes, those movies are apparently the most accurate depiction of the books.
Interesting.
Compared to like other
character-wise
and like actually like being true to the way the books were told.
Wow.
Versus like all the other interpretations. I mean, and you're like, great. Really? Those? And it's like, yeah, no. Like Sherlock wasn't like smooth. He was like this brutish kind of like almost a jockey dude who happened to be a nerd, but he was a sociopath.
Yeah.
But not like
definitely a junkie.
And a junkie and like just a fucked up dude. And it's just like, yeah, that's how those movies are kind of portrayed.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is it took me a while. It didn't hit me right away. I don't know. Maybe it did, but maybe it hit me again in the second time. But I was like, oh my God, the Sherlocks, they're right there in Infinity War.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I don't know why it went so long. I was like, I'm such a moron.
They're like both the Sherlocks. Yeah, facing off.
Right.
The other montage I want to bring up is one that is like a guilty pleasure montage. Or not a guilty pleasure. It's like, it's comedy, but not for the sake of, it's not comedy, but it's comedy, but it's not intended to be funny. It's the montages that happen in crime shows when they're like, interpreting DNA or like looking at evidence, and it's like, okay, we have to do this DNA thing, or we have to hack into this we have to look at this database or whatever.
This EDM music, lasers,
flashes on screen, NCIS, like whatever, and then it's like, all right, we figured it out.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, the main part of the process, and we just skip over
it. It's not just like, oh, you do the test, and then you send it off to a lab.
Yeah.
And you wait like a couple months.
Pour these chemicals. Watch the chemicals. It's blue. That's the answer. That's 6 months of work you just did.
Yeah. Oh, man. Bones is notorious for that stuff.
Oh, yeah. CSI, yeah, NCIS, even Law and Order has some like moments that are...
Also, any makeover movie
things
when they go through in the beginning and they're like, we're going to put you in all the outfits.
Yeah.
And they go through the outfits like, what about this one?
What about this one?
Crazy Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, my God. That was so fun, though. Yeah, I love those moments, too. They're just fun.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, they're fun and funny, but they're entire. I mean, the clothes ones make sense because you could go to a store and try on a bunch of clothes. Yeah. But, like, for the just basically, like, the science behind, like, these forensic investigations, it's like. No, that's not the way that happens.
You just did magic.
Yeah. I mean, it's a movie, or it's a TV show, so I get it. You only have 30 minutes, but like 22 minutes sometimes. Actually, those shows are usually 40
minutes. Or the gadget montage in all the spy movies. We're here are all the gadgets.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah,
those are really fun. The whole Edgar Wright thing has made those gadget moments better for me because it's like then you get those sound effects and you get those moments where like there's a zoom in, there's a click, there's a push, then there's somebody saying a line that's really funny, and then one more moment and then you're out.
And you're out. Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, he's like, how does this poof? Oh shit. And then boom, and then you're out. So that's definitely revolutionized that usually corny James Bond tech montage. Anyway, it's 1 o'clock, so we have to go back to work.
Yeah.
This has been Grunch Editions. We even talk about Grunch Editions.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be Grunch. Or I got to bring, like, a little sandwich.
Yeah.
Really make it a Grunch Edition.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat on... I'll eat like this and then bring it back in.
We're having to do Grunch Editions because we've all have... Well, do you want to talk about what's happening?
Yeah, I mean, I'm taking classes Tuesday and Thursday, and then you got something...
I have stuff on Tuesdays now.
Yeah, and so... If we did it Wednesday, then...
We wouldn't see our significant others ever.
Yeah, it's fine.
So we're going to do Grunch. We're going to do Grunch while...
I'm free.
Yeah.
We're going to do Grunch Editions while Luis is doing classes, and then we'll figure out a transition.
But honestly, this actually... I like that it kind of frees up my evenings.
Yeah. Because
then I can Twitch stream, which I'm doing now.
Oh,
so
plug your Twitch stream before we go.
Twitch.tv/StarlineX. I draw and then occasionally play Overwatch and or Kingdom Hearts. But it's mostly me drawing Ruby the night before till like 3 in the morning. And you guys get to sit there and watch me do that.
Yeah, sorry Marie's been such an asshole lately. Have we posted that?
Yes.
We have.
Well, she's it's just like the first half of that conversation.
Yeah.
That's fine. She's stressed out.
Yeah.
I understand.
I know.
I feel her vibes.
Just the audience, just know there's good reason for it. I just don't, I don't want people to think that she's just
it's
being
just
an asshole
for being
an asshole.
Literally that one page just went up. So I think like, and I think people like, they get it.
Yeah.
She's not being like, she's not being like an asshole. She's just little.
Yeah, things are just hard right now.
Yeah.
You know?
You'll know why.
Yeah, you'll get why. There's a couple of things that are problems. that she's facing, and we'll get to see more of that. In
go to RubyWhipple.com. This
episode,
six.
This episode is brought to you by RubyWhipple.com. Ruby Whipple, the place where you find all your comic dreams. Didn't realize you love comics? Well, go to RubyWhipple.com, and you'll say, "Oh my goodness, I love comics. What have I been doing all my life?"
Go back to the first page. Look at all of them. Take off your ad blocker.
Take off your ad blocker. Oh my god.
In fact, click on the ads. Buy those things.
Okay, I don't want to go that far. Don't buy the things. But if you want to click on the ads, that's fine. You can click on the ads.
Okay.
Anyway, thank you so much for coming all the way down
here.
Of course. Appreciate it. You can find me at Spencer Stark. That's SpencerStarke.
You can find me at Louis12 on LUWI12.
Look at that. Doppler effect.
Look at that. Pretty cool.
And you could find me on Twitter at StarlineX and on Instagram as Starline.
That's
even
beautiful.
Though pronounced Darlene, I have to say that every time. But, yeah.
But it's easier if you just say it
for
Starline.
For spelling purposes, yeah, Starline exactly. Is easier to say.
Okay, goodbye.
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 We're going back to work. Goodbye.
Ow, God.
I'm dying. Help me.
That was good.